We certainly live in a world where you have to have an appointment for just about everything. You want to go to the dentist, you make an appointment. You want to go to the doctor, you make an appointment. You want to have your car worked on, you have to make an appointment. You want to get your hair cut, you have to make an appointment. See, everything deals with appointments. Appointments aren't new, are they? Jesus told his disciples that they had an appointment with him. An appointment. Let's go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, and we'll begin reading there toward the beginning of that chapter. Matthew chapter 28. This, of course, the last chapter in the book of Matthew. Notice verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, his clothing as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he's risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." They had an appointment to meet with him in Galilee. Notice, same chapter, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples, of course Judas had committed suicide by now and was gone. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. They had an appointment to meet with Jesus a certain time, a certain place. The Bible tells us there are some appointments, number one, we should make, but it's up to us. Then there are some appointments that we have to make. We have no choice. Let's look at one of those where we have to make a decision about whether we're going to keep this appointment or not. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us about an appointment. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's begin reading in verse 13. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 23. Starts out with one of those great "let us" passages in Hebrews. He says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." What appointment do we have? We have an appointment to meet with our Savior every Lord's Day. Is that actually what the verse says? Nope. That's not what it says at all. Do you see anything there about the Lord's Day? Nope. It's not there. So what am I getting at? Most of us, when we read an English translation of this verse, see the word "assembling," not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And that's not a good translation of the word. The word is plural in the original language. It says, not forsaking the assemblings of yourselves together. That's what the word says. So he's not talking about just the Lord's Day. I know some may have been led to believe that's what it says. That's not what the verse says, though. And if we want to believe God's Word, then we want to believe what God's Word says, not what we think it says. It says, not forsaking the assemblings of yourselves together. All of them. Why? Who is with us? Let's go back to something Jesus said before he left this earth. Let's turn back to Matthew's account of the gospel. And let's read Matthew chapter 26. Verses 28 and 29, a very important paragraph or part of a paragraph. He is instituting the Lord's Supper. Notice what he says in verse 28, and we want to be people who believe the Bible. Verse 28 says, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." So who's with us? Jesus. We could look at a multitude of verses that says every time we assemble, all the assemblings, as the verse says, Jesus is with us. So put yourself in the place of the disciples, Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 7. Mary Magdalene and the other women go to the disciples and tell them, Jesus has made an appointment with you in Galilee at such and such a time. What do you think the disciples are going to do? Make every effort to meet that appointment, right? Every effort they're going to make. And so Jesus has said, I've got an appointment with you. When Christians come together, I'm going to be there. So Jesus said, I'm telling you now that when I'm there, I want you there. Whenever you come together, I want you there with me. He says, I want you to meet that appointment. I want you to make that appointment. I want you to be there. I want you to be a part of it. What happens a lot today when you don't make appointments? If you're making an appointment with a doctor or a specialist of some kind, they want at least a 24-hour notice, don't they? And many of them, if you don't call and cancel the appointment, will do what? They'll charge you anyway, whether you come or not. I mean, they do that very, very often. So you have to call in advance. Say, I can't come. I would imagine that Jesus is disappointed when we don't make our appointments. Don't you think He is? I think he's disappointed. I don't think He has a checklist or anything, but I think He's disappointed when you and I don't make every effort to make our appointments. Because He's here. You know, He's with us when we gather and worship in a way that He's not with us any other time. Now, yeah, He's with us and He's aware of us and He's by us. But when we come together, the Bible says He is very much with us in a special way. So it's like He's making a special appointment with you and I. He says, come and be with us. And I imagine He's disappointed. Some, maybe, kind of looking at it in another way, He certainly wants us to do what we would at least do for a doctor. If you're having a medical test of some kind, there's often what? A whole list of do's and don'ts, right? For the day or two prior to the test. You might not be able to eat this or do that, or you're not supposed to do whatever. And you've got a long list of do's and don'ts. Why? To prepare you for the test. Prepare you for the appointment. Right? I think the Bible tells us that there are things we have to do before our appointment. You know, if I'm going to go to all this trouble just to go to a doctor... And who likes to do that? Who likes to have medical tests? If I'm going to put forth that kind of effort for a medical test, what kind of effort do you think Jesus wants me to put forth to meet this appointment? More or less? I'll let you answer that question yourself, but I think you know the answer. and think you know the answer yourself. What kind of effort? We certainly don't want to insult our Savior. I've already mentioned the second appointment Jesus has with us, and that's at the Lord's table. Luke's account is slightly different than the one we read. In Luke chapter 22, again, it's the same setting. Jesus is in the upper room. He's instituting the Lord's Supper. In Luke chapter 22, in verse 29, Jesus says this, "And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." That you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. Don, many times when he is presiding at the Lord's table, will quote what verse? Acts chapter 20, verse 7, right? What's special about Acts chapter 20, verse 7? Well, let's read it and see. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, our Sunday, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight." When the disciples came together to break bread, they had an appointment, didn't they? Jesus had made an appointment for them to be here and partake of the Lord's Supper. That was important. And in Matthew 26 and Luke 22, it says that he eats it with us in the kingdom. He is there with us. Again, and it's an appointment. I think it's pretty special. And that appointment is not on Saturday night. It's not on Thursday morning. It's on the first day of the week. That's the appointment. So what happens when we eat the Lord's Supper only once a month? We're missing a lot of appointments. Would you expect to get well if you were to have 40 radiation treatments for cancer? The doctor said, "You're going to need to take 40 treatments to get well." And you were to go, let's say, 5 days a week for 8 weeks. What if you showed up once a week for your treatment? Think you'd ever get well? Probably not. So when we miss that appointment to partake of the Lord's Supper, how are we going to be spiritually well? If we only do it once a quarter or twice a year or just once a year. We're missing all of those appointments. Jesus said he was there with us every time we partake of this in his kingdom. We're missing those appointments. We can't be as well as Jesus wants us to be. It's an appointment. He's also, and you may not think about the next one as an appointment, but yet it is. Let's read Matthew chapter 6. A very different type of appointment. Matthew chapter 6, and let's read verse 6. Matthew 6, verse 6. A third appointment he wants us to keep. He says, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you've shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." There's an appointment. I have an appointment to pray. It doesn't specify there how many times I make this appointment or how long the appointment is, but I have an appointment with the Father to pray. In that particular place, it talks about praying in secret, as opposed to, like the Pharisees did, pray in public so people will hear your long, wonderful prayers, you think. But it's praying in secret, praying by yourself. And it's an appointment. It says that you have an appointment to go into a private place, go by yourself, and pray to the Father. You have an appointment to keep with Him. The nice thing about this appointment, we can make as many as we want. We're not told we can only come in for 2 minutes and then have to leave. Nope. We can stay as long as we want. How many appointments did you keep yesterday? How many appointments did you keep this past week with the Father to pray in the secret place? How many appointments did you keep? How long were your appointments? You know, all the appointments we've talked about so far are voluntary. Do you have to assemble with the saints? Nope. You never have to assemble one time your whole life. Never. You never have to assemble. Do you have to partake of the Lord's Supper? No. You never have to. Do you ever have to pray? Do you ever have to ask God forgiveness? Never. You'll be lost. You'll be separated from God forever if you don't, but it's your choice. It is an appointment you do not have to keep. It's entirely up to you. The last two appointments, the Bible says everybody has to keep. You have no choice in the matter whatsoever. You are forced to keep these next two appointments. The first one's found in Hebrews. Well, they're actually both found in Hebrews chapter 9. They're actually found in exactly the same verse. Hebrews chapter 9, notice verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. This is an appointment everybody has to keep. Verse 27 says that it includes both appointments, but we'll concentrate on the first one. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Who? Everybody. Men there is the generic term for mankind, humanity. It is appointed. It is set that you will die. That is the way of all flesh, right? That's the way of all flesh. It is a natural part of living. You know, you go back to Genesis chapter 5 and you have the list of all the patriarchs and how long they lived. You get to Methuselah. It says he lived, it said who his father was and so forth. Then he lived 969 years. You know what the last three words there about Methuselah is? And he died. And he died. That was his appointment. He died. You look at all those other people that's listed there. And he died. And he died. And he died. They didn't have any choice in the matter. It was an appointment they had to keep. Like it or not, it was an appointment. There was no way they could get around it. You know, people have invented all kinds of marvelous things today, but they'll never be able to do anything about this appointment. Our bodies are not made to live forever. They wear out. They are corruptible, like 1 Corinthians 15 says. They perish. There is nothing you and I can do about that. They will one day wear out. And when they do, we're meeting this appointment, an appointment with death. David used the phrase, "I go the way of all the earth." What happens in all the earth? Everybody dies. That's the way it is. You and I and everybody. There have been billions and billions of people that have died. They had an appointment with death. They had to make that appointment. And there was nothing any of them could do about it. It's inevitable. I thought a lot about that this week when I had to give a lesson at a funeral for someone who wasn't ready for that appointment. They hadn't prepared for that appointment. Appointment came anyway. They couldn't do anything about that appointment. They had an appointment with death, and it came. Hopefully some of those who were listening maybe started thinking about that, just like David said, they would go the way of all the earth as well. Because we all do, and there's nothing we can do about it. Sure, we can live a good life and take care of our health, but eventually we die. That's the way of all flesh. That's the way of all the earth. And that's the way God has meant for it to be now. He says clearly that it's appointed for men to die. And so we all, it's not an option, we all must make that appointment. The end of that verse has the last appointment we have to make, and that is, but after this, the judgment. You and I can't do anything about the judgment either. You and I will stand before the judgment seat of Christ regardless of whether we want to or not. No one has the option of not appearing at the judgment. Not a single person has that option. It is an appointment you and I will make regardless. And there's just absolutely nothing we can do about it. There is a judgment coming. Acts chapter 17, verse 31. These words certainly should make us think. After saying that God commands all men everywhere to repent, he says he has appointed a day. He's appointed a day. I don't know when it is, and there's not a single living person that knows when that day is either. They have no idea. But he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He's given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. It is an appointment. We all are forced to stand before that judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says we're going to receive the things done in the body while we were alive, whether good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Whether good or bad, we are going to receive those things. So all of us, regardless of our age, regardless of where we lived, how we've lived, or anything else, we'll stand there. It's an appointment you and I cannot miss. Everyone that's ever lived will stand before that judgment seat of Christ. We end tonight, or this morning, Revelation chapter 20, by that great judgment scene. Verse 12, after John saying that he saw the great throne, he says, and I saw the dead, small and great, everybody, standing before God, and books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. That's pretty clear, isn't it? He's appointed a day in which he's going to judge the world. God is appointed, has appointed Jesus to be the judge. What are we going to be judged by? Not where we live, not who our parents were, not who our children were, not what kind of job we had. We're going to be judged by the things we have done that are written in the books. He makes that clear. He also says that there's nothing hidden from him. Nothing hidden. Most of us probably hide things from people, don't we? Not from him. Not going to hide anything from him. And if our name is not written in the book of life, it says, verse 15, we'll be cast into the lake of fire. The exact same place, just prior to that, that he said that's where Satan, the beast, and all will be cast. The exact same place. Yeah, some of these appointments are optional. We never have to assemble. We never have to pray. We never have to partake of the Lord's Supper. God doesn't force us to do any of those things because He wants us to do them out of our free will, making choices that are appropriate. But those choices we make determines judgment. The things that we do, the works that we do, those choices that we make, whether to do good, whether to do evil, those determine our destiny. And that appointment with death and with judgment is not optional. Everybody, small and great, will stand before that judgment seat. And it's all about whether we've prepared and made the right choices or not. What have we put first? Have we really put God first or not? Have we made Him the priority in our life? Or have we made everything else a priority? And God is last. Those are the things that will be important on that day of judgment. How do I prepare? I don't want to find myself on the day of judgment not prepared. Of course, the very first thing is becoming a child of God and having my sins washed away in baptism. Without that, I have no hope. And secondly, 1 John 1 tells us that I have to continue to confess my sins. The Bible doesn't teach once baptized, always saved. It says I must continue to confess my sins, to repent of them. And if I do that, the Bible says He is just and willing to forgive me. And that's how I can stand before the judgment seat of Christ and be prepared. And as the parable says, I will hear, enter into the joy of your Lord. That's what I want to hear. And that's what you want to hear. And if you do want to hear that, and you want to make preparation by being baptized or asking for forgiveness, let this morning be the time that you do so as we stand and sing this song.